From iHeartRadio, Common Enemy, and Tenderfoot TV, it's the Hey Pal podcast.
Hey Pal.
Hey Pal.
With Jared and Davo.
Hey Pal.
Hey Pal.
Here I am again.
Here you are. This is incredible.
I don't like
Kyle.
It over here. You know, I know I did a great job last time.
I mean, that's still, you know, up for discussion.
No, it's been decided.
Okay, you did a great job.
I did a great job.
Okay.
And, but I feel way more comfortable back over on the keys, just making sure all the buttons
are
pressed and we're recording and things are working.
And I respect that and appreciate everything that you do and
thank you.
How you handle that.
Yep, as you should.
We really don't know where Jared is. I'm hoping that his competition in the Mario Kart Championships is going well.
It's very possible that it's not, though.
Well,
and he's dead somewhere.
No, I hope that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, of course not.
Definitely don't want an alley death. That's for sure.
No. Something more dignified.
So we have a great guest today.
Oh, the best.
And
I don't know who he is.
Your hair looks good as always. Well, you know him. He's the host of the
$100,000 Pyramid. I know. Yeah. I was just testing you to see if you knew.
There you go. Today we have, one of the greatest NFL players, football players. That's the game with the pads in America, not
the shin pads, like the
not soccer or
soccer.
You're thinking of football.
Yeah, football
overseas. No. This is American football.
See,
tackle
just,
football.
Just get on with it. I'm still confused.
One of the greatest of all time, a Hall of Famer, a great friend of mine. He is a host on Good Morning America.
Yep.
He's an entrepreneur. He has his own clothing line.
$100,000 Pyramid.
He hosts the $100,000 Pyramid game
that
show.
That show is awesome.
It's a great show. Yeah. He's
literally everywhere.
He's incredible. He's everywhere. One of the hardest working guys in entertainment. And just a great, great person, great father, and just one of the good guys.
I like that. It's nice to get a good guy in the show.
Yeah. Michael Strahan.
Hold on. Yep, he's calling.
All right.
We got him. We got him.
Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
There you go. Damn, man. You got a whole official setup in this joint.
We do.
I thought I was going to come up with some BS. You got some real. Let me take my jacket off for this one.
I'm taking mine off.
This is my co-host, Kyle, who knows nothing about sports. He's filling in for my regular co-host. So we'll have some fun with him.
Buddy.
Knows absolutely nothing, but he's handsome and he's got great hair, Michael. He has great hair.
I'm usually the one pressing the buttons, making sure the show doesn't go off the rails.
Hey, man, all you need is hair to stay on TV and do these podcasts. You don't have to know a damn thing you're talking about. I've made a living out of it.
But by the way, what car did you drive home today? What were you in today?
I didn't even get a chance. I haven't driven my car in forever. I was in the Bahamas for 2 weeks.
Right.
Then I came back and I've just been sitting in my little Navigator, man, getting driven to and from work and driving myself.
Okay.
But this weekend, tomorrow, hopefully I'll get to drive something nice.
Okay. So I have a funny story about that really quick. So remember when I was at Super Bowl with Rebel and I was with Adam Devine, but I think you were thinking I was with Adam
Levine.
So,
oh my God.
So you know who Adam Devine is though?
Yes.
So I go up to Adam Devine and I'm like, dude, I just talked to Michael Strahan. He like loves you and he lit up. He like lit up. And I'm like, you guys were talking about this car. And so I'm giving him this whole spiel about how much you love him and this car that he wanted. And he was like, Dave, I'm a little confused. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, well, I love Michael Strahan. He's like, I think he's incredible. And I would love to talk to him, and I'd love to talk to him about cars. But he goes, I don't think he knows who I am. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I know who Adam Devine, little guy, black hair. I know Adam Devine.
I thought
you said Levine. And I remember Adam Levine the last time I saw him. He's specking out a Ferrari.
Adam Devine.
Like, oh.
We got to the bottom of it. There's Michael.
Hey, Adam, man. I know who you are. Of course I know who you are. I'm a big fan. We got the last names mixed up, and I had cars on the brain, brother.
That's all.
I'm sorry.
That's all. So it reminded me of one night I'm at the Sunset Tower Hotel, and I'm with David O. Russell, the director, and I'm with Jamie Foxx, and we're with Timothy Chalamet right when he was starting to blow up. And we're sitting down and we're talking. And David O. Russell's like, so, you know, Jamie, tell me about Davo. And Jamie's like, I don't know what to tell you about Devo. I don't know how, but he knows everybody on Earth. He's connected to everybody. He knows everyone. And just as he's saying this, Phil Mickelson, the golfer, comes over to our table and he taps me on the shoulder and he's like, get up and give me a hug. Phil Mickelson. I've never met him in my life. Okay. So he gives me this huge hug and I'm like, I'm just going with it. I'm like, Phil, meet David O. Russell, the director, meet Jamie Foxx. And he's like, and Jamie Foxx goes, man, he's like, how the hell you know this motherfucker? And Phil goes, oh, he's the best. And like, I'm like this, cause I have no idea what the hell's going on. So it turned out he thought I was Jerry Ferrara.
Hey, dude, now that you say that, I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see it.
Yep.
Now, that's funny.
Yep.
But Jerry is my guy, too. I love Jerry.
It was after Jerry had lost a lot of weight. Okay. So Phil Mickelson was like, you look amazing. And he's like sitting there like touching me. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I've never met this man. So
hold on. Did you tell David and all those guys that you didn't know him?
No. Hell no.
Oh, good. They know now.
I tell
you, man, there's not very many people that I've ever been mistaken for.
Right.
But I will say when I was playing, I was a little heavier and bigger guy.
Yeah.
I'm at a Knicks game.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on the front row. You know, I'm feeling good about myself. They gave me front row tickets to the Knicks, baby. I'm like Mr. New Yorker.
Right.
This joint.
Yep.
Sitting there watching the game, trying to be cool, sitting in the front row.
Yep.
Dude come down at halftime. Hey, can I get you a signed, you know, autograph? I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem. He's like, I really appreciate it, champ. Thought I was Riddick Bowe. Man, get your ass out of here. I ain't looking like Riddick Bowe. Come on, man. I was so mad.
Amazing. Unbelievable. All right, let's get with this.
The show's over. That was it.
That was
great.
Amazing.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on the Hey Pal podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, so Kyle, I am so excited about today. We have a very, very special guest today. It pains me a little bit. Because as you know, I'm a massive Philadelphia sports fan.
Yeah, we know.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I love this man so much, it's difficult for me. Because not only is he one of the greatest NFL players of all time, he's one of the greatest New York Giants of all time.
That's right.
Yeah,
our
baby.
Guest today, Mr. Michael Strahan.
There we
on
go.
The Hey Pal show.
Thank you. Welcome Thank aboard. You.
Michael.
You know, hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me. You could have changed your wardrobe, but that's all right. Little no, Philly
he's
shirt a,
he's
on.
Mean. I didn't but wear the I Eagles. You, man. I didn't wear the Eagles jersey care. Out of respect. That's
it's
why I didn't wear the Eagles. I had to go with Phillies. Now, my normal co-host is a diehard Cowboys fan, so we would have been representing uh-huh. almost the entire the greatest division
NFC
in football,
East,
the
yeah.
NFC East. But today, filling in, we have our producer who knows nothing about sports. Mr. Kyle Tequila.
Isn't that funny? But I produce a sports podcast. I don't know how that happened.
So, Kyle, but I have a question for you. Where are you from, man?
Chicago.
Okay. You don't know anything about sports.
I mean, that's kind of the thing. I mean, I grew up playing hockey. I love the Bears. I love Blackhawks. I love Chicago sports.
Have you pay attention now?
Not really.
What do you do with your life? Like, what do you do?
I literally said
like, there's got to be at some point in time in your life, like on a Sunday.
That's
like
right.
Football's on. Like, what are you
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, no, like, I watch it, but I'm not like, I'm not paying
no, no,
attention.
But tell Michael what you said to me earlier.
I
about,
said, no,
that
I
you didn't
want to
waste your life watching sports.
I said, I have a life, which means I have a wife, I have a child, I'm running a business. I like to just not watch things for a minute. I like to do other, I like to look outside.
Right.
I like to play music.
Hey, you know what it sounds like to me, Kyle? Sounds like your wife said, you're not watching football on Sunday.
She's listening.
And you had no
Michael,
choice.
Michael, she's listening.
So I get, and no disrespect,
Don't
homie.
Call me out, man.
Hey, I respect
Don't give me
you.
Trouble.
Got a wife and kids. You can come and tell us straight face that I choose not to watch because I have a life.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like watching reality TV is kind of like watching somebody else live their life. You're not living yours.
Uh-huh.
But watching sports is entertainment. So Your wife told you can't watch sports. So that's cool, brother. I appreciate that, man. Well, you take care of your family because that's number one.
No, and that's why he's filling in. This is why he's filling in
sports again.
Yeah, this is why you're filling in.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You've saved me. You've saved me.
You have our permission not to watch sports.
Okay,
there you go, buddy.
Thank you.
You've been granted permission.
This is a big day for me.
Don't go anywhere. Hey, pal. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Let's get into it. Michael, you've clearly done it all. I'm curious, with all the things that you've done, what's given you a bigger life high? Is it a sack in a professional football game? Is it doing a great, great interview? Does that give you a bigger high? Or is it closing a big business deal? Because you are an entrepreneur. So for you, at this point in your career, looking at everything, what gives you a bigger high?
The sack.
Really?
Because you know what? Yeah, because I could never do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes
like
sense.
That's like something that once it's over, it's over.
Yep.
And I don't know, man. The thing about getting a sack of football is that I have to dominate another dude, like throw him down, beat him. Like, it's nothing better
right
than almost taking somebody's soul
yep.
a little bit
yep.
with a yeah. sack. You know what I'm yeah. saying? It's like
– yep.
That's better. Like, I would love to close the big business deal. I love that.
Yeah.
But if there's not one today, there'll be one tomorrow, I hope. The other doing an interview, trust me, if there's not an interview today, there's another interview tomorrow.
True.
But a sack, everyone is precious. And there's nothing better than hitting a quarterback and you kind of watch the air leave his body. Like,
his soul leave his body.
Fantastic. Oh, man, you got me fired up. Yeah, my Giants jersey.
So let me ask you this. Do you have a sack that stands out more than all the others? Because you are the all-time sack leader.
Well, I think, you know, Tom Brady in the Super Bowl was special because right. that was the Super Bowl. I think the Donovan McNabb.
Uh-huh.
I had a few on him where I would watch back and go, man, I really closed on him pretty quickly because he was the tough one to get down.
Right.
The hardest sack, the best sack I ever had, like I set the move up and I made the move and I hit the quarterback so hard that it put him out. And it was a picture perfect sack with Gus Frerotte with uh-huh. the Redskins.
Yep.
That was the best picture perfect, put pain in somebody. sack I ever had. Now everybody's gonna think I'm a violent guy. I'm not a violent guy. I'm just out there as a matter of survival.
Right.
But somebody's got to get beat up, it's not gonna be me if I can help it.
Exactly.
Well, it's funny you say that because our co-host, we just love beating the hell out of him.
We
do.
We love sacking Jared every right opportunity that we get. We definitely love sacking him. Now, the one thing that's so beautiful when I look back on it is, you know, obviously you just interviewed Tom Brady and he has the 7 Super Bowls mm-hmm. and he's untouchable and. You know, it's yeah. unbelievable. But you got 2. And both of the Super Bowls you got, you beat him. So you definitely, when you guys talk, you have the upper hand, don't you?
No, you know what? I got 1. The Giants got 2.
That's true.
I wasn't there. I wasn't there a second time.
That's right.
But you know what? It's not even the fact that he lost 2 to the Giants. It's the first one that we beat him in.
Right.
He said that is the one that just eats him alive.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because they were perfect. They yep. were a perfect season.
Yep.
And the other ones, you know, we lost the game here and there, but a perfect season,
yep.
that is immortality. He's already immortal because of 7 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But to say we had a perfect season and did it,
yep.
that is the one, if you talk to him to this day, the one that bugs him the most.
Of course.
Is losing that one to us. But I'm like, dude, you got freaking 7. I just needed 1 so I could retire.
Yeah.
Like, don't get greedy.
Yeah.
Like, let the other kids play with the ball every once in a while.
Exactly. And I know how big a fan Don Shula was of that Giants team for sure.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We beat them. They popped champagne. When we beat Denver had a great record with Elway 1 of the years. They won the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they came to New York and we sucked.
Yeah.
For some reason, we came together on that Sunday and we beat them. They sent us champagne too. So the Dolphins make sure they send champagne to ever beat the team that looks like they're going to go undefeated.
I love it.
So we did it twice for them.
I love it. And Kyle, just so you know, Don Shula was a head football coach for the Miami Dolphins. And he orchestrated the
game. Are you seriously explaining this?
Yes. He doesn't know who Don Shula is, Michael. He definitely doesn't know who Don Shula is.
I'm just going to let you handle this, guys. It's nice to meet you, Michael. Good luck with everything.
Come on, you got to sit down. We got to talk about more than sports. Come on back. Hey, pal, come back.
He said, hey, pal, come back.
All right, I'm back.
All right. Your eyes when I was explaining who Don Shula was, Michael, were priceless.
I can feel the fury. You were angry at me.
Even wearing a colored dolphin-colored shirt today. Dang, man.
All right, now next.
You mean the Miami Dolphins, the team that's in Ace Ventura?
Exactly.
Okay, that's how. Yeah, that's go. The one. Ray okay, now Ray you're Finkel. Making sense. Ray Finkel.
Yeah, Ray Finkel.
Glaces out, baby. Now we're talking.
Whatever works, pal. Whatever works. All right, now next question. Again, this has to do with your career. So, what made you more nervous, or what makes you more nervous? Was it your first NFL football game, your first NFL on Fox episode, your first Good Morning America episode, your first time hosting Kyle's favorite show, $100,000 Pyramid?
Woo! Love that show.
Seeing your teeth without your trademark gap, which just happened recently, or seeing one of the twins go on a date. What of those makes you most nervous?
Man, well, first of all, the twins have not really been on a date yet.
Thank God.
I'm nervous for the boy more than I am for myself.
Exactly.
Okay, because I'm going to pull one of those scenes from Bad Boys when the guy comes to the door.
Mike Lowry.
And then those guys show up. Mike Lowry. And man, you know what? That is probably one of the best questions I've ever been asked. Because usually it's very easy for me to say one or the other.
Yep.
But I was so scared my first football game.
Uh-huh.
But then I was so scared at Fox.
Right.
But then I was terrified at GMA. Like, I'm like, you giving me PTSD, man. I'm shaking over in this joint. It's because you have really triggered me. I would probably say the scariest thing I'd ever done, maybe GMA.
GMA?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pyramid didn't scare me because, you know, practice through all that stuff.
Right.
GMA scared, you know what GMA scared me? Football, I had no idea what I was doing, or at least I knew it, and I didn't think I did, and I realized I had to learn it.
Right.
So was I nervous? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it all fell on a team in a sense. Like, I got to do my job, but I'm on a greater, bigger team.
Yeah.
Fox scared me to death because I got all these thoughts in my head about what I want to say.
Yeah.
But then by the time they get to me, Terry and Jimmy and everybody's taking all the daggone notes that I had.
Yep.
So I'm sitting there like, oh, they took everything I had written down. I don't have nothing.
Yeah.
So you have to learn to improvise and make up stuff. But GMA, you're like, it's you. It's news. It's more serious. You can't get away with, like, joking your way out of stuff.
Right.
Like on Fox, I'm doing commentary, man, and I'm like, I have 3 points. And I go, one, and this one, that, two, blah, blah, blah. The third one, I'm like, oh, I forgot it. And it's funny.
Right.
You know, everybody can laugh at that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done Fox where I'm like, okay, this thing, I have 4 3-points. I go 1 point, the second point, I get to the third, and I totally forgot it.
Right.
So I just start coughing like I was choking. And then the guys fill in, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, and I remember what I was going to say. So I'm like, oh, yeah, and let me finish.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reason I started, they think I'm choking. Like, you okay? You need water? I'm like, no, I just need a thought.
Right.
Because I lost my train of thought.
Right.
So that stuff I can get away with. GMA, you can't get away with that, man.
Yep.
And it was so Fox football, I knew football. I'd done enough TV. Football, I knew I could play football, but didn't need experience. GMA, that's when I thought I actually knew TV because I'd been on Fox,
right.
I'd been on Kelly and Michael.
Yep.
Like, I thought I knew TV until that TV. Then I realized I knew nothing.
Yeah.
That's the scariest thing I've ever done.
Hand wow. Down. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Great, great answer.
Amazing.
And, yeah. And just to go for a quick minute, just to go to the Twins along the lines of what you said, you're more worried about the guy. So Chuck Liddell, we were together when his daughter went on her first school dance. And Chuck used the famous Sean Penn line. Imagine how scary that was for that kid. And Chuck went up to him really calm, and he said, here's the deal, son. He goes, whatever you do to my daughter, I get to do to you. And he smiled. And that kid, you talk about turning ghost white. Oh, my God. It was amazing. Amazing. So.
Well.
Yeah.
Hey, I may have to steal
that's
that
a good
myself.
Line.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great line. Anything you
it
do
is
to her,
nerdy,
I get
but
to
it's scary
you.
Though.
Of course.
You know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and they're like, oh, you know, I was like, dude, I'm not worried about my, I know a dude. I know a kid. I know, like, I was that age.
Yep.
Yep. And I know what I hope for.
Yeah.
Yep. And now I
yeah.
I'm about to go upstairs and yell at my kids. They didn't even do anything wrong.
I love
Don't
it.
You wasn't God. What did I do?
Blame it on Dave-O.
Yeah, blame it on me.
Everything's Dave-O's
exactly.
fault. Michael, you were the 40th player picked in the 93 draft. You had 30.
You know I know you're reading this because you know.
Because I don't know jack shit. Ahead. I'll just hold up the piece of paper. Hey, you want to read the question for me? Actually, hold on. He's calling me out. He's too good, man. I can't. I just got to deal with it. All right. So let me hold on. What does that? What does it say? What does it say?
You got this. Paul.
Okay.
You got
this. All right. Anyway. So there are 39 dudes in front of you, but you ended up becoming one of the greatest defensive ends in history. So do you think that, is there something there that motivated you to, you know, to become great, or you already knew you were great, you just needed more time, or, you know, is there anything about that, you know, not being up in the top 10 or top five in that draft?
Yeah. You know what motivated me? Eric Curry, John Copeland, Dan Footman, Coleman Rudolph, Carl Simpson, yeah, those guys that got picked in front of me.
You know,
me.
I love that.
Todd Kelly.
Yep.
That went to the 49ers. But it wasn't like I didn't know the guys. I weren't friends. Like, I was a really good friend with Todd Kelly.
Right.
But I remember sitting with one of these scouts from the 49ers, a guy named Tommy Hart. I'm sitting there with him and Todd Kelly, mm-hmm. who's a good friend of mine. And he's right there and like, dude, I'm in college. I'm this young 20, 21-year-old kid trying to just make it. And Tommy Hart says, "Well, you know, Michael, you'll never be as good, good of a player like Todd."
Wow.
And I was like, "Huh?" I go, "Yeah, because you can't close on the quarterback." So it was like, yeah. So I remember everybody in front of me.
Yep.
I mean, Coleman Rudolph, Georgia Tech, gets drafted by the Jets first round. I go to the Giants in the second round, and that guy ends up being my backup.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then goes into the game and plays two plays and then raises his hand like, okay, come back in. I'm like, okay, all right. I see why you weren't in the league very long, because you were lazy.
Yep.
And you were spoiled. And yep. I came from HBCU. I had to grind.
Right.
I'm wearing one pair of shoes in practice and the games all year long. I don't get a new pair of Nikes every week.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So my experience of coming to the NFL – was a lot different than everybody else, a lot of these guys' experiences. And I didn't come in looking at it like I was supposed to be there, like they owed me something and they were going to open up the gates. I came into a team with Lawrence Taylor and all these guys. I had to earn it. Yep. They weren't giving you jack.
And Kyle, you would know Lawrence Taylor from Any Given Sunday. That's where Kyle would know him from.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He was great in that movie.
Yeah, that guy. The one who cut the truck in half with a chainsaw and didn't blow up when he hit the fuel line.
That's Hollywood for you right there, baby.
Yeah.
Perfect logic.
But yeah, I mean, that motivated me, man. It motivated me, but also I was motivated by respect. At the end of the day, you want to be respected for the job you do, so... I just didn't. You weren't going to leave a game and think that I wasn't what you heard or I sucked or nothing. You're going to leave the game and we may have lost, but you're going to feel it. You're going to be sore the next day. You're going to think back, I don't want to play him again. That was always my focus for respect. And with the respect, money comes with respect. Winning comes with respect. I mean, if you get respect and you're out there and play, you win games, you win. You know, lucky for me, win a Super Bowl. Respect come with that, but I just want to respect from a player standpoint of guys on that field who know who the real good guys are. Not right. The guys who are good players because the media anoints them, but guys who actually, you know, you put on the field and they actually can play. Mm-hmm. That motivated me. Representing the family, man. I can't disappoint my mom and dad. Like, that was
– right.
Yeah, that was it. They're going to walk around with the name proudly.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about you didn't expect anything to be given to you, and I think that's what happens a lot nowadays – especially with these earlier picks, is they kind of expect like, hey, this is how it's supposed to be.
Ordained.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So but think about it though, man. You're 20, 21 years old.
Of course.
You get picked. You got millions of dollars in your pocket. who could really tell you anything? Yeah. I had nothing near that. You couldn't tell me nothing when I first started. I mean,
right.
I used to cash my little check. I'd get like $6,000 a week.
Right.
Cash that check, walk around with a little knot in my pocket thinking I was like balling. Didn't realize that, you know what? That's last for 16, 17 weeks.
Right.
I still got 35 more weeks to live during the year. And I'm like, oh,
yep.
That money's supposed to last the whole year. Like,
yep.
But you can't tell a young guy. It's very hard to tell a young guy certain things because they've never experienced it. For me, I was just lucky enough to outlast my mistakes as far as like my career and a lot of the different things. It was just around long enough to outlast those things, they end up coming out on the other side of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard. It's hard, man, to be 20 something years old and have millions of dollars in the bank and not feel like it's easy.
Very true.
But I always tell guys, the second this game is over with, the team will let you. I can call the Giants now. I can go to the facility. I'll have lunch. I can go to a game, go in the suite. I can stand on the sideline.
Yep.
They're not writing me another check.
Right.
So when it's over, it's over. And, yep. And I just never wanted to look back at the end of my career and say, oh, man, if I'd only worked harder, or if I'd only done this or done that. No, I put it all in when I was there. And when I walked away, no regrets. I never once looked back and said I should have kept going. Maybe another year. Nope. I'm good.
Don't go anywhere. Hey, pal. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
But it's so freaking true. It's all so goes so hand in hand because it's not about an individual. It's about teamwork. No one has had success has gotten where they've gotten because they didn't have people help them. They didn't have a good team behind them. They didn't have somebody lifted them up, somebody who carried them at some time or encouraged them. And so I have an incredible team, great people behind me. And I've always been the guy who didn't want to ever be the weak link on the team. So I was always willing to push myself and work a little harder and stay a little later and do whatever it took to be successful. And that's what life is. Like, life is not waking up and it's just there for you. I remember my dad saying, boy, one day you're going to find out that everything, when you out on your own, everything is your responsibility, from the toilet paper to the Q-tips. And every day I use a Q-tip, I'm like, damn, dad was right. I had to pay for this Q-tip. Nobody gave this Q-tip. Like, everything is on you.
Yeah.
And it was just a different attitude I had to take, man, that I got to, you know, I, if you want to have success, you got to be willing to work for it. You got to be willing to sacrifice some of the things that you probably want to do in a moment.
Yeah.
Do some or whatever. You got to sacrifice those things for the long-term goals. And for me, I've done that. And it's just worked out, you know, better than I ever imagined.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's been awesome and well-deserved, by the way. Will you go grab Rocky really quick?
Sure.
Nicole, can you bring Rocky down? You're going to like
we
this next question,
guest.
Michael. We got a surprise guest for you.
Rocky.
Wait until you see this.
Somebody got to carry Sylvester Stallone now?
Wait until you see this.
Oh, boy. I'm almost afraid.
Here he is.
The Emperor.
Here he comes. That's Kyle's Rocky. Wife, Nicole.
Hey, Nicole. How are you?
And that,
hey, Nicole.
She says hi, Nicole.
Let Kyle watch football on Sundays.
He said, let Kyle watch football on Sundays because we're making fun of how Kyle doesn't know anything about football.
Yeah, Nicole probably knows more about football than Kyle does.
Yeah, see?
All right, so the reason I brought Rocky down is because you had a lot of great teammates over the years, and now you have a great teammate, your dog Enzo, who's your best friend. Describe that relationship with Enzo. And how does it compare to any of the relationships you had with some of your teammates?
It's unlike any relationship I have with my teammates. Some of my relationships with my teammates may have had limits. Like, I'm not taking them on vacation. I'm not giving them baths.
No?
I'm walking them.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
That's the way I thought that's what you guys did in the locker room.
No, maybe a rookie. Maybe a rookie has to do that.
But I tell you, man, I didn't want a dog. I didn't want a dog for a long time. Like, I don't have time for a dog, man. I'm busy. I'm traveling. I'm this. And the kids, man, this dog is like the best thing that's ever happened. He when I walk in the door, he's for the most part, he is by far the most excited one to see me. Yeah. So, and I just like, I can't get enough of him. And even, you know, you find out that you love with your dog so much that here in New York, when it's cold, you're like, I don't care. I'll take him out for a walk.
Right.
You know, you're willing to take walks in the middle of the freezing cold and you don't even mind in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It's like he's perfect. Perfect. Couldn't ask for a better dog.
No, I mean, dogs are amazing. And obviously I really understood it when my pops unfortunately passed away and I gave my dog to my mom, and that dog saved my mom's life for those first couple years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it gave her something. It gave her something that loved her unconditionally. It gave her something to take care of, something to look out for, something that when she was tired and didn't want to get out of bed, had to get out of bed to take the dog out. That's a huge factor. Mm. So you totally get it, you know, when you connect with an animal and something that you have to take care of, it's actually a really great thing and a really special relationship.
Fur babies.
No, and I agree with you 100% and about all of that, man. And yeah, I lost my father too, unfortunately, in that same club, and you do, it's nice sometimes, you know, the dog, I can lean on it, and there's no conversation needed, like he just senses and feels when you just sitting there on the couch some days, he'll come over and just look at you, and like Enzo, he doesn't jump on anything, he has to be called up on the couch, he's like one of these bougierly trained dogs.
right,
and so you call him up there, he just knows when you need it, you know, he needs to just be there next to you.
Yeah.
And it is something, man. Helps you through the hard times. And what kind of dog is Rocky?
He's a Chihuahua Yorkie mix.
Chihuahua Yorkie. What do you call that? Chiyorkie?
A Chorky. Yeah.
Chorky. And they call it a Chorky, really?
Yes.
I don't call him Chorky because he gets mad at me. He's just as mad as you are. I just call him Rocky, man. He's his own dude.
Look at Michael's
Kyle, man.
Face.
When I come out to LA face to face, brother, me and you got to go ahead and lunch.
Strahan, this guy's the greatest.
I mean, he's the best. He's a very, you know, when people say they're likable or they're endearing, like a lot of people, you know, say I'm endearing. Jared's not necessarily endearing.
No one says that.
Or likable. Michael Strahan is both.
He has all of it.
He does.
He's the full package.
Yeah.
What a guy. It's too bad we have to cut this thing in half.
Yeah. But it's good because it leaves our audience with more. They're going to be wanting more.
The anticipation factor.
Exactly.
Leave them on the edge of their seat.
Yes.
All right. Thursday, Strahan, part two.
Hey Pal is a production of iHeartRadio, Common Enemy, and Tenderfoot TV. Hosted by Jared Einson and Dave Osico. Producer is Kyle Tequila. Executive producer for iHeartRadio is Sean Titone. Executive producers for Tenderfoot TV are Donald Albright and Tane Lindsay. Catch new episodes of Hey Pal every Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you love the show, don't forget to rate us 5 stars, share it with your friends, and subscribe.